Everyone, it's Rachel Roberts
and Megan Segura.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
And if you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hope you're full
of turkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tofurkey?
Oh, do you not eat turkey?
I don't.
Geez, what do you do?
Well, it's funny you ask.
Yeah.
So Aaron and I started a tradition about like 3 years ago where we realized it's too much to go out of town for Thanksgiving and then right around the corner is Christmas. So we decided we need to just have our own Thanksgiving. So we started going every year to Brasserie 8 1/2 and they do a Thanksgiving pre-fee and I get fish usually.
Okay.
But like traditional sides.
So like mashed potatoes and
cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
And you know, it sounds sad. I can see the pity in your Grace's eyes. But I will say it is 1,000 times better than having a Thanksgiving with extended family.
Right.
Small talk is like just my nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And casual racism.
Oh,
to be clear, a lot of my family isn't. They're great.
Isn't racist.
Right. It's just, you know, it's one or two bad apples.
We all have one.
Yeah. So I feel like just doing it on our own
is better than that.
You know, it works for us.
I mean, really, from what it sounds like, just like sitting at home and watching the parade would be better than your traditional Thanksgiving.
Yeah, except I hate parades.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're in the city, you should go to the parade. But no, you'll never do that.
I've seen it go by before.
I've always wanted to go see the balloons because you can see them the night before.
Yeah, so I lived right by where they have them. So I have seen that.
I see. I've never done that. I've always wanted to
go. You should. It's fun.
But it always like doesn't work out timing-wise with like traveling. Or, because I'm not from New York, so I always have to go somewhere else. But then one year, I was going to definitely do it, and then I had to write, like, a term paper, and then I couldn't go. It was supposed to be done, but of course it wasn't.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I am going down to Atlantic City.
To gamble?
I think what we're going to do is when you get a bus pass down to Atlantic City, you get $25 just to gamble, like, with your bus pass. It's like an incentive to go to Atlantic City.
Now, who's we?
Oh, me and my boyfriend.
Going to his parents?
Yes. I've never met them before. I know. I mean, it'll be fine. I don't know why I'm not nervous, like, really at all. But I think it's because parents always like me.
Yeah.
It's like that Sex and the City episode when she's like, parents love me.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Yes.
So, and really, of the two of us, I'm the catch.
Oh, is it big extended family?
I don't know. Because at first it was. It was like at his aunts and uncles. And then like his nanny was going to be there, which is his grandmother.
Oh. It was like, wow. They really kept in touch.
No. But now it's like maybe we're just going to the grandparents' house or we're just staying. It's all very confusing. I think there's a lot of stress about what's happening, which is like always
typical.
What happens.
Yeah. Again, that's why I like to keep it simple.
But we hope all of you have equally as magical Thanksgivings.
Yes.
And we hope this podcast is part of it. Let's get into what we're talking about.
Yeah, so we are, because of Thanksgiving, a lot less shows on this week.
Boo.
But we're making do with what we have, and that's Real Housewives of Atlanta and Real Housewives of Orange County Reunion Part 1.
Yes, and we talked to Crystal Puccio, digital producer, our colleague, who was there the day of. And watching the first episode, I was like, I remember her saying they were going to say that. Oh, my God. So she gave us a lot of deets that you didn't see.
But I will say, you know, I spoke to Andy in the beginning before the reunion aired, and I was like, do you have any predictions for this reunion? And he just went in on how he thinks there will be a lot of resolution. And I think that there was some resolution.
Yeah, and you also talked to Dr. Jackie, right?
I did. What a hoot. So our offices are shared with Oxygen, and we have like Snapped stuff around because it's one of their big shows. And she was like, I need to take a picture in front of Snapped.
Because for anyone out there who doesn't know, right. Snapped is a show about real life women who snap and like kill someone.
Right. traditionally their husbands. Did you, now watching it back, learn anything new that you didn't know had been said?
I certainly did, especially for the men mm-hmm. involved, and you know, the ultimate double standard where a man should be forgiven and a woman should be thrown away. Yeah, mm-hmm. I learned that.
Yes.
So just a hint at how that interview went.
Amazing.
Plus, stick around at the end for our Rose and Thorn of the Week. There's a lot of low moments. Like, I had could have, like, five thorns.
Oh, yikes.
I know. It's hard to hold that rose.
All right, let's get into the news.
Telephone, telegram, tell to read.
I'm here with Daily Dish editor at BravoTV.com, Jocelyn Vina.
Yo.
And we're starting it. We're doing it. News with booze. We both have our Mazel glasses.
We do.
Full of wine.
I mean, I wouldn't say full. Still on the clock. Partially filled with wine.
We're in a good mood. We just got out of an amazing meeting.
Girl.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Okay, so we were talking about the upcoming season of Vanderpump Rules, and we had Ryan Flynn, who's been on the podcast. He's executive in charge here at Bravo TV and works on that show, kind of laying out for us what we're going to see throughout the whole season.
We thought we've seen it all. We've seen nothing.
I know, because we've been given a couple of bombs, and we thought that was a lot. And then he was like, you know what? Can I just spoil the season for you guys? And we're like, yes. And then it was like thing after thing after thing after thing.
I had said in the meeting, I was like, this feels like it's like if somebody wrote fan fiction about what happens like on Vanderpump Rules, but it's real.
It's
and we're
going
to see it. And it's crazy.
There's just I every year I worry that they're going to grow up, you know, and then won't
and
be
then
interesting.
Actually, they don't ever.
Like they'll stop messing up. But nope, never.
No,
never.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Thanksgiving week and I am thankful for that.
Exactly. All right. What do we have lined up for news?
So we have some big sort of dishy kind of scoops this week. First up, we had your girl, Portia Williams, came through. She updated us on where things stand with Todd, who you might remember from last season.
Yeah, because we haven't, we're like a few episodes in, haven't heard anything yet.
Because they are not together right now.
No, we're not together, but we are still very much friends. He came just this last weekend and supported me in my play and sent flowers each night of the show and went to dinner. So, I mean, I love spending time with him. It's just some things he's got to take care of. I mean, he lives in D.C. I live in Atlanta. Maybe we'll figure it out one day. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of assumed, but I wasn't sure. I thought maybe she was just hiding him.
She's not hiding him.
I forget. Did he end up signing that baby contract last season?
I don't remember, but I don't
think
so. Does
he still owe her a baby?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me call him. Bloop, bloop, bop. I don't know. But she says she's texting with some guys right now. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't foresee her ever being single for long.
I'm definitely dating. I'm like a text dater right now. Yeah. I meet them initially, and we exchange numbers, and then we text every day. And it's super supportive, believe me. And they're like, oh, I saw you on your show or whatever. It's great. And you can form a real relationship over text messages and FaceTimes and all that. So I hope to be meeting some of these people that I've been texting soon and be for real dating, but kind of busy right now. So it's not like on the top of my priority list.
Okay, so we have Portia. What else?
So we had another BravoTV.com editor, Alice Dubin. She went out to VultureFest to interview Erica Girardi, mm-hmm. Jane, last week at VultureFest. And she talked a lot about the memoir that she has coming out in March.
We saw the cover.
We did.
Yeah, you guys can go to BravoTV.com to see it. But the cover's amazing.
She looks fantastic.
Really good.
I mean, it would take like 3 weeks for me to look as good as she does on the cover of that. And lots of Photoshop. And I would still not look like Erica Jane Girardi. Like, she looks amazing. And she also, like, teased a little bit about the new season of Beverly Hills.
We traveled so much this year, and I think that that's something that the audience will really enjoy. It's a lot of lifestyle. You know, I'm in Tokyo, New York, Berlin. God, we went a lot of places. I mean, Lisa Rinna and I, listen, Berlin was great. That's with all the girls. We had a good time. Lisa Rinna and I had a good time in Japan. You know, it's hard to beat.
I don't want to give away exactly what she says because you should go check out the interview with her on BravoTV.com. But she teases three words out for the new season, which comes back in December. And I was like,
really, girl. Like, it sounded like things get kind of juicy. This, I mean, unsurprisingly, but like a real big shakeup kind of goes down.
Yeah, I heard it too and was equally wow.
Like, Erica knows like how not to disappoint us, so I'm not surprised that she knew exactly the three words to pick. But
right, but she did.
She knew. It sounds good. December can't come soon enough.
All right, what else you got for us?
So finally, Kelly Dodd. She opened up a bit about her separation from Michael on the reunion this past episode. It was really kind of, it was emotional, as it should be. I mean, she's talking about the ending of her marriage. Not the first time they've separated, but this feels like maybe it's going to stick a little bit more.
It feels different this time because my daughter's older and she can tell you exactly, you know, she's 11 and we got separated when she was 5. So she's expressing, hey, I want you guys to divorce. So, you know, she's like, I'm happier if you guys are apart. So that's huge.
Well, she has her own home, it feels like. Yeah.
She talked to the Daily Dish about it ahead of the reunion. And, you know, she talks a little bit about, you know, moving into her own place with Jolie, her daughter, and what that's been like and how she's like trying to make it like a really nice home for the two of them. They're still living on the beach out in Orange County, but she said that like she'd really love her next home to be like a French chateau kind of look and really frilly and girly, and I thought that was kind of cute for her and Jolie to live there together as she kind of like plots out this next stage in her life.
Yeah, she should put it on the vision board. That's what Vicky did for Steve. She got Steve.
She did. I don't know if Kelly is looking for, like, I think Kelly's just looking for Steve. I think Kelly's just looking for Kelly.
Yeah, put the house on the vision board.
The French Chateau.
Exactly.
She seems like it's going to be hard for her to find a French Chateau in Orange County, so let's vision board that up.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting at the reunion, you know, because, like you said, they've been separated before, and they got into such heated wars over the custody battle.
Yeah.
And so Andy at the reunion's like, how is that going? And she's like, we're working on it now. Which she seemed okay with it, but
they see, I mean, I guess.
I don't know. I'm just so curious to see how it all plays out.
I guess we'll see what happens. But Jolie seems very, like, comfortable with the separation, which I think was important to Kelly, at least when she came in. She kind of felt like she had made an okay decision knowing that her daughter was comfortable with it. I mean, as a mom, I would imagine that's probably one of the main things you worry about. Shannon also talked about that on the reunion as well, about how her daughters are adjusting to it. So it's like two interesting, very different kind of marriages ending, but interesting that two marriages are ending at the end of this season of Orange County.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jocelyn, for indulging in some news and booze with me.
Those are two of my favorite things.
Me too. The links to all the stories we just talked about will be in the description of this episode.
Thanks.
So this week on Atlanta, a lot of stuff goes down, but Megan just informed me that Grace has some very important Atlanta-related information.
Yeah, she had texted us and said, just so you know, I looked up the condition Portia has, and for a while, doctors thought I had it, so I know a lot about it, and it does not keep you from flying on planes. Grace, care to share?
To preface, I am not a doctor. There are perhaps versions of vasovagal syncope that...
That was good, you nerd.
Well, as I will explain, doctors thought I had this for a while. When I was in high school, I collapsed while eating a piece of pizza.
Nice.
It's very funny now, but it was very scary at the time. And doctors thought that I had compressed somehow in the chewing process my vagus nerve, which causes you to pass out. So there's a whole category of fainting that is called syncope, and specifically vasovagal syncope when it has to do with your vagus nerve.
Vagus nerve.
It runs like all down the like right side of your neck.
A vein that likes to gamble is what you're saying.
Yes, in that it can destroy you. But so syncope is like any fainting that is not for a good reason. Like if you faint when you see blood, if you faint when you get scared or when you're like on heights, it's like this nervous thing that triggers fainting. And it does, the way it triggers it is it drops your blood pressure dramatically because like all your blood rushes to your head or something. But I don't know how, maybe if you're really scared of flying and you pass out because of the fear, that could be vasovagal.
No, her argument was she needed to have her legs propped up.
Yeah, that's not anything. Well, it does also happen if you're like standing too long or if you're in the heat.
Well, okay. So maybe some validity.
Maybe, but in all of the literature that I read, there was nothing about flying on planes.
And I just want to say, in case all of you out there are a little skeptical, if anyone's going to do a lot of research about a potential syndrome that they have, it is Grace Rosen.
I mean, the more I hear about Grace's childhood, adolescence, she is a real life Woody Allen. Like, so many neuroses and things.
In the best way.
Yeah, in the best way. Like, it
not
makes,
in like the, you know,
you
I
endearing.
Fell in love with my daughter and the married her
right,
way.
Right. But wait, what did you end up having?
Just a couple seizures. They never put it.
You just had seizures? Mm-hmm.
But not bad.
But not epilepsy.
Not epilepsy.
I mean, that is shocking to me, Grace. No?
No, I mean, because
like a part of me was like, I mean, we can't speak. We don't know.
Portia, yeah.
I want to say is her heart's in the right place.
Right.
But
she could just be playing it safe.
Hey there. This is producer Grace. Now, since recording this episode, I did a little bit more research, spent some time on the WebMD, and it does look like prolonged motionless can aggravate those prone to vasovagal syncope. So maybe that's what Portia's dealing with? I don't know.
Well, speaking of Portia, a lot happening between her and her sister right now.
Which makes me, I have a lot of thoughts, but number one, I was like, this tagline, can you even trust your family too?
Oh, right. I don't know.
I know.
I mean, I have to say, it would be really hard to be someone famous' sister.
Yes, and then be their assistant. It just reminded me of America's Sweethearts.
Yes.
You seen that film of the 90s?
Also
late
for the...
early 2000s? Mm-hmm.
For the second Sex and the City reference of this episode, when Samantha in the movie with Smith Jarrett's publicist, and she was like, I say your name more times than I say my own.
So I'm going to have to say the thing that you're not supposed to say.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, her sister's putting in a lot of work, and she's not reaping the same benefits. And
of course.
I get it.
That would be really hard. But I get Portia's side of it is that, like, the fact that you're trying to paint it right now as if I'm not doing anything for you.
Okay, I don't appreciate those little things you say about it being your company.
Do you not feel appreciated? I think that's where this sounds like resentment.
I do literally everything.
And you get paid for that.
Yeah, I get paid for it, but not what a normal person would get paid. I get paid what your little sister would get paid if she was doing it. Portia, you will get 85% of the profits.
And I'm bringing you along with me. Are you putting a motherfucking dime into the company? Are you?
But I put my life into it, Portia.
Well, don't do it no more. Don't do it no more. And yes, I will make the most money out of it because I'm putting my back on the line.
Exactly.
My credit on the line.
Exactly.
And I'm working on the line.
And exactly. I'm putting my life on the line.
We will.
I'd be on the street with my daughter.
Well, then do what you got to do, Lauren.
For you.
For her to say that she doesn't feel like I appreciate her.
Such a fucking bitch.
It hurts me beyond. Beyond.
But when she walked out and she called her a bitch, like, this is not good.
But watching the Kardashians, they call each other bitch a lot. Like, I think it's very normal amongst sisters. We don't have any, so we don't know.
Right. I can't speak. I mean, you, I call a bitch all the time.
You call me an asshole at least once a day.
But yeah, that was really interesting, and I can't wait to see how that, like, plays out. But I thought it was interesting that Portia was like, you know when someone like clearly has been harboring something?
Yes.
And then it was like, that was exactly what was happening.
You know when someone has been holding some stuff in? Okay, well, I got a lot of information from this. We're gonna get on it on our end. If you have an issue with me, don't harbor those feelings. And then now when we're at the table, you're choosing to make me out to be the enemy.
Right.
Which I get.
Yeah.
But moving on.
Yeah.
Sheree.
And her mom's party. Mm-hmm. Poor Sheree.
I know. I loved the moment when she was like, you would think at this point everybody in Atlanta would know not to mess with me about event planning.
By now, every party planner in Atlanta should know not to mess with Miss Whitfield.
Well, and so this is what I think might have happened.
Okay.
That maybe the event planner is hearing, gets that phone call from Shreya. It's like, you're not here. You're supposed to be here. This isn't right. This isn't right. She, knowing Shreya's history, is like, oh, no.
Unfortunately, there seems to be some tension and has turned into a situation that is not aligned with my business practices. So I would not be in attendance. Here is an address where the linens can be picked up.
I'm not about to go film and be painted to be some terrible event planner.
Some like hapless.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's a good point. Like, I don't even want to be a part of this now because I don't want it to be painted like I totally dropped the ball and didn't do anything. But that's what you look like anyway by not showing up.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I do like the part where she's like leaving a nice voicemail and she says,
oh, don't you hate when you got to be nice to a bitch just because she holding the cards right now? I need the linens, but I can't act a fool on her because she won't bring them.
Yes, yes, yes. But I'm like, I feel that way at least once a day at work.
Right.
Like, you have this thing I need, so I have to be nice.
But you're the one.
But damn it, you should have had this to me yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. So we feel you, Sheree.
Yeah.
And then when she was like,
I just got your text message. I'm not happy. Today is my mother's birthday beyond everything else. And I'm sitting here, I'm about to tear the f*** up because I'm not happy. I'm not happy that you would do this to my mother.
I was like, ooh, that's a good one.
Party seemed to turn out okay, though.
It looks like a blast. They're all posting on social media now. And I'm like, why wasn't I there? It seems like a lot of fun.
Whose costume did you like the best?
Oh, definitely Kenya's.
Yeah, hers was good.
Which was funny to me because she, like, when they were getting ready at her house, she was like, I could wear this, but then I have this other outfit. Maybe it would work. It's like a 70s top and bell bottoms. She, like, really downplayed it. And then she came out and she was, like, the most 70s out of anybody. It was so perfect with those shoes.
Yeah. I really liked Sheree's, too. It was very, like, Studio 54. Mm-hmm. And her son.
I know.
He that looked was great.
Yeah, no, totally. I just loved all of the wigs.
Yes.
I was super happy about all of that. But speaking of getting ready at Kenya's house, I just want to really quickly shout out the moment when Nini comes in and they're looking at the closets and Nini's like, oh, is this your husband's closet? And then in an interview, she says something like,
I noticed in his closet, there was clothes hanging, honey, with the tags on them, child. So I see how you rolling, honey. You make sure your man has new clothes to put on when he arrives, girl. Okay.
But I don't think that's what she was saying at all. I think what she's saying is like, it's all new clothes. Interesting, considering we haven't all met him and where is he and does he exist?
Right. How often are they seeing each other at this point?
She said they see each other on weekends.
All right. That's still not a lot of time, though.
That's why they have to have sex 2 to 3 times a day.
She has ice packs.
She has ice packs. I was like, she has to get it in, meaning like in her schedule. And then I was like, oh, but there's another meaning.
Right.
So I'm not going to say that, but then I just did.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. And finally.
Yeah, and sadder news.
Greg.
Greg and health scare and surgery.
This really upset me because I really love Greg so much. You know, obviously, I didn't love him for a while when him and Nini had their struggles. But when he was, like, trying to win her back and would write poems to her, I find him so charming.
Yes.
I loved watching their wedding special. Like, I love Greg so much. So hearing him on the phone being like, I really wish someone else was with me.
Yeah.
It just, like, broke my heart.
I have to say, the whole time I was like, what the hell, Nini? You should be at the hospital with him. But then I feel like Cynthia really called it correctly when she said,
I've known Nini for like 8 years now. I know that she's very concerned, but I can also see that she's in denial. I don't think she has fully grasped how serious any type of heart situation could potentially be.
Nini seems to be in denial about what's happening.
Right. Like, she's just not facing it.
Right. Because, I mean, any type of surgery is scary. And the fact that she just wasn't staying at the hospital with him, like, when he's going through something, I don't know.
But I will say, in situations that I've been in, it is this weird thing of, like, I have to be there for this certain time. Doctors are coming in, so it doesn't make sense for us to be there at that time because we can't.
Right.
So it is this, I don't know, like when it's, and when all the schedule is all over the place, it's hard to figure out when you should go and when you should not. And then I think a lot of times people are trying to be brave. So they're like, really, you don't have to come, or, you know.
Yeah.
So it gets, it's messy.
Yeah.
But like when she had that moment in the car where she was like putting her hands on her face, because you never really see Nini flinch.
Right.
So I feel like we were just starting to see it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it struck me. I was in the gym and I was watching it and I was like getting off of the treadmill and I was like walking and I like stopped in my tracks. I'm sure I like was in the middle of a walkway and I just was like watching her in that car because it just really hit me.
I was shocked to see Brent.
I know.
He's changed so much.
I know. I thought that too.
I just still picture him as like the 12-year-old boy.
Right. And I remembered that like when they flashed back to like her conversation with him when he got in trouble. And
yeah.
Like, Greg and I are so proud of Brent. Give me a hug. Mommy love you.
I don't want to sit in the bird poopy.
No, stop playing. Give me a hug. 12-year-olds hug their moms.
Oh, wow. We really have been through a lot with Brent.
With two T's.
Well, like Greg Guga.
Yeah.
I just love that he's Greg Guga. Next week, though.
Oh, Kim Zolciak.
Yes!
Oh, my God. And, like, we're already going in on the John Legend comments.
I know!
Oh, and someone tweeted her about it.
Oh, my God. Go.
And she tweeted, I don't know what they said, something shady. And they said, for her to, like, pimp out her daughter and not even get good seats. And Kim Zolciak replied, we were backstage, sweetie. If that's a great defense of...
And it was John Legend?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that's on brand for him. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how happy he's gonna be that he's now embroiled right. In this, like, but Chrissy probably loves it.
Yeah, I'm sure she's the one that got them the tickets.
Right, of course. Oh boy.
Can't wait for that.
Yes. So, Megan, you know that I am in and attend a lot of weddings.
I mean, so many weddings.
Of course, I have another wedding coming up next year. My friend's getting married in England.
Ooh.
Yeah, so not only do I need to get a fascinator, but I need to get her a gift.
Ooh, that's the worst shopping for wedding gifts.
I want to go in on a group gift with all my friends, but they're all over the country. We're friends from high school. I'm from California. But thank God she's registered on Zola.
Oh, our coworker Lainey used that.
Right. So Zola is the wedding company that's reinventing the whole wedding registry planning process to make the happiest moment in a couple's lives even happier. So what like a bride can do and what Lainey probably did is she made a customizable checklist and guest list manager all in one place. And it also has everything you love about your favorite department stores, plus things like honeymoon funds, fitness classes, and wine subscriptions. She said she actually did the whole like honeymoon fund thing and it was amazing.
Oh, that's nice. It's kind of like a place to help a couple start their life. Together.
I mean, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah. Although fitness classes.
Just because you're married doesn't mean you don't have to keep it tight. What's super great for me is they also offer group gifting. So like I can talk to all my friends. We go in on one big, amazing gift together all through the website Zola.
To sign up with Zola and receive a $50 credit towards your registry, go to zola.com/dish. That's zola.com/dish.
$50 is a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm genuinely like, wow, maybe I need to get married. I mean, if this Thanksgiving goes well, who knows?
So I missed it, but you talked to Dr. Jackie.
Yes, I did. And Married to Medicine is a show I handle, and I've worked with the ladies before. I was at the reunion last year, so I was just really excited to see Dr. Jackie again. And then, of course, considering everything's going on, I had a lot of questions. And she was really strong, is a word I'll say for her, and very vulnerable, but also very... Because I told her, you know, me and you watching these episodes have been very like, what is wrong with these men? What is wrong with these people blaming her? How do you deal with that? What is that like watching? And like, thank you for being such a strong woman. And she kind of goes into all of that.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jackie, for being here.
Yes, thank you, Rachel, for having me.
I just want to start off with, I love your style on the show. I love what you're wearing right now. What is it?
This is, what's her, Maj, I don't know. I just go for cute.
I know that you, like, wear heels in the office, and you're always looking cute, like, as you're doing your OBGYN job.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any rules about that, or, like, what is your style there?
You know, I also have a breast cancer foundation, and my motto is look good, you feel good. And if you look good, you feel good, you do good. You do good work, your immune system's good. So you know how it is on Sunday morning when you put your Sunday best on and you walk by the mirror and you're like, ooh, That's my thought in the office. Even with scrubs now, I've learned to make scrubs cute.
How?
I need to come up with my own scrub line. Make sure they're cute with the right shoes. You know, you can design your own gym shoes now. And so in the office, if you got on a cute pair of scrubs and some cute, everybody goes, oh, I like your gym shoes. Mm. Oh, I like your shoes. Yeah.
Yeah, athleisure is very big right now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, you always are kind of like the wise one of the group, very even-tempered. Have you always been that way?
That is so odd. I had that same discussion this morning.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And I get asked that question all the time. And I've been trying to think back. And I think I was just built that way. It's a chromosome anomaly, I guess, because I don't know of other people who really possess that, but I've always been that way. It's just, I think long term. I think I add up the cost. I try to think wise and see what can I say or do to make somebody else's life better and just think about long term. You know, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to change, you know, who I really am. I don't want to embarrass my parents. And so I think long term. I mean, I had an episode this morning. I was on call. I literally left call, got on an airplane and came here.
Oh my God.
Where I had a patient who said, I will decide when I want my surgery. And she was, of course, needing a C-section right now. Baby's butt was coming first. And I said, okay, let me give you the options. And, you know, let me tell you the risk and the benefits of each. And you decide. And the husband was just having a fit. No, you let us tell you when. And I'm like going, I said, okay. I went through the options as to why you needed it. I walked out. I said, you process and I'll be back. We had a C-section. And so, yeah, I think that's just my God-given nature.
Yeah. I'm jealous because I often don't have that foresight. And I'm like, no, words come back to me. Conversely, was there ever like a wild days of Dr. Jackie that we just don't see?
No. Now, I think I have the Swamp Netta monster in me. She just doesn't come out. You know how they don't see the swamp thing often?
Yes, yes.
She's in there. Now, she certainly is in there, and rarely does she come out. But when she comes out, it costs me so much, and it takes me so long to fix it that I just leave her hidden. But wild days, not really. Not really. I was never a big drinker. You know, we would have fun, spring break, go to the beach, laugh, talk, and play. But no, I don't know. If my parents were school teachers and we couldn't really get away with much because they were always at the high school. Yeah. No.
Oh, so your parents were teachers at your high school?
My parents were educators at the only one school in a small town in Mississippi. And so I didn't think I could get away with a lot.
So like opposite of preacher's daughter syndrome.
Yes, exactly.
I wanted to talk a little bit about medical shows. I'm like a big Call the Midwife fan.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch shows like that, are you just totally taken out of it because you're like, none of this is accurate? Like, I can't watch this right now.
Yeah. That's exactly. I'm like, that's not right. I mean, wrong terminology. Yeah. Yeah. They take us to a place where you're going, they need to call me. Because you can make this more believable if you say this and if you do that. So Grey's Anatomy, all of the shows, yeah.
Right, House, it's always sarcoidosis.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you say it?
Sarcoidosis,
yeah,
uh-huh.
That's like always what it ends up being. And
right.
I'm like, is that really that common?
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Thank you for clearing up that medical house mystery for
exactly,
me.
Exactly, right.
I wanted to also talk about, how did this even come about? You know, it's fifth season. What were you thinking as a medical professional joining reality television?
I blame all of that on Dr. Simone. And she was asked by Mariah, was she even cast for the reality TV show? And Simone's probably more of a risk taker, but she's a risk taker with a safety net, which is me. And so she thought, I'll do it if Jackie does. And so she convinced me to at least talk to Mariah. And I talked to Mariah, who said, you would be a mentor. And you just come on the show and, you know, kind of share the lifestyle of a doctor and help women who are married to doctors. Sounds easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. The biggest okey-doke move ever. However, I cast it for the show, and here we are, season 5. Can you believe it?
Yes.
And thinking, oh, my God. And some days I go, oh, my God, what have I done? But now it feels like a part of my life, and the show has allowed me to have such a platform and to help so many women and men that I couldn't imagine life without it.
Is that what keeps you coming back season after season?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really have befriended most of the ladies, and the controversy is real. And it's amazing how I said, just let the show be organic. Well, sometimes you don't want it to be so organic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I, whenever our Bravolubs come in, they're always just like, it really is what's going on, and it's hard to be that vulnerable.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's of course seasonal that we're filming, so some things you catch, some things you catch up on. But, yeah, it really is organic, and if I could fake it, there would be a lot of stuff you wouldn't see. Mm. It sure would be.
Well, I feel like this is kind of a natural transition into this season. Mm-hmm. Considering everything that's going on, how has going into the season been different for you?
This season was probably very traumatic, going into the season, because, again, it was organic. And what you will see on season 5 was something I probably never would have imagined that I would have to deal with ever in life. And so I didn't have a lot of time to process, because, you know, I learned of the life changes this season, and then we started filming a week or two later.
Wow.
And so I had no strategy and no game plan other than to say, you know what, let it play out.
Right, this is what's happening right
now. Yep, this is it.
What is it like watching it now? I know the season just started.
It's hard. It's hard. It's almost like having had a surgery and the wound is healing, and now somebody walks in with no anesthesia and just kind of rips it back off. Mm. And so you watch it speechless. Mm-hmm. And the thing I've learned with TV is you don't realize how much you say. And, you know, you'll see it on TV like, did I say that? You know, and you're hoping that they put words in your mouth, and they don't. And so you're watching it going, oh, I said that. Okay. Mm. Ouch. But, yeah, this season has been, we've had 2 episodes so far, and it's been hard.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
It's
been hard. Yeah.
Seeing the other cast's reactions, mm-hmm. did you, now watching it back, learn anything new that you didn't know had been said?
I certainly did, especially for the men mm-hmm. involved, and, you know, the ultimate double standard where a man should be forgiven and a woman should be thrown away. Yeah, mm-hmm. I learned that. And I don't think they probably realized how painful that was coming from a man and a woman hearing that until now that they're hearing it. And so it was, yeah, she should forgive him and she should work it out and she should fix it. And she, mm-hmm. you know, and we hear very little about, wow, he needs to. So double standards again.
Yeah, we were talking about it on our show, and me and my co-host Megan were just like, no, how can they be saying this? Yeah. And we're like, yes, Quad, you shut your husband down saying all of that. Because we were just like, no.
Thank God for Quad.
Yes. Has she been someone that you've been really leaning on this season?
Quad's very supportive. Now, Quad comes in with, you know, bull in a china shop kind of energy. So I kind of tone that down. But she has been super supportive. And, you know, what is a little shocking is hearing another woman say that maybe it was something the woman did. And, you know, that's one of those you go, huh? Okay. All right. Give me a blow dart.
So I'm hearing that it's affected your relationships with maybe some of the other ladies.
Affected is probably stronger than I would say, but it has given me... Well, let's be honest. I'm different in a sense in that I am a woman who works as hard as the men on the show. And so I'm already different, because I don't think until you walk in these shoes, as I've stated, you'll understand that lifestyle. And I was explaining to my director this morning that, you know, I have the office calling me and I have the foundation calling me and I've got family stuff. And it's just some days I'm juggling it so much you just want to jump out of your own head. Mm-hmm. But, it gives me a new outlook, like you really have no clue.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, that I, you know, watching the group of friends, like, you know, at the Waiting to Exhale party, mm-hmm. and you're all so honest with each other. You're not holding back. And it seemed like there's nothing that's kind of off limits between all of you.
Now, you know on a reality TV show, whether you want it off limits or not, it's not. Right. And the worst thing you can do on a show or really in life is to live a lie. You know, one on the show is always going to come out. And in real life, it just comes full circle where you live a lie. And I forget my lies. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to, like, trust me, if I could have given any other story than the real story this season, I may have tried to come up with that story. But I can't remember the details enough. You know, there are people who are natural born liars. They got a genetic makeup that just is a liar. I can't remember the stories. So I just have to rock with the truth, suffer it, and it tends to go away faster.
Right. If you just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking a little bit about the reaction of people. How have fans been during all of this?
I've tried to not get too involved with social media because it can really shut your day down. But just the parts that I've seen, I would say if I had to put 90% of women and men have been very supportive because unfortunately, you know, the divorce rate is what, 50% in America? And infidelity happens. Oddly enough, I've had several men and women to say to me, every man cheats, as if that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. But the support from the fans has been fantastic. You know, I've had a couple of people who reminded me again of what I said at the end of the season last year, which was a mistake if they thought I was saying, hey, let's just have a menage a trois. You know, if you're not happy with me, just bring her on over. That's not what I was saying at all. But I've had a few people who say you work too much, you know, you don't give your husband enough attention. And so casting blame, but I will stand and say until the day I die, I will accept no ownership because infidelity is a choice. You know, it's not that opportunity was there. It's a choice. You know, every day you walk out of your house, you make a choice for good, bad, and evil. And so I don't accept any blame for it.
I think that what's been great about watching the show is seeing you, such a strong woman, and saying things like that and having the platform to say things like mm-hmm. that, to be like, actually, no, I'm not going to take this.
And I think what happens with a woman, or, you know, I see women all day, 40 women a day, is they will have an infidelity or an infidel in their life, and they all think, okay, I'm cutting this off right now, and you get to decide. And I say you have the courage to forgive or the freedom not to. And I'm figuring it all out. But they want to cast the person into like the pits of fire and just hate them. And I don't hate my husband. You know, I don't know whether that's always going to be his title or whether we, you know, what is the title? I'm figuring that out, but I don't hate him. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is so freeing for me to say, I don't hate you. You know, I don't support what you've done to you, to me, and to the marriage, but I don't hate him. And so I want women to know it's okay to still, you were in love with your husband the hour before you found out. And just because you found out there's been infidelity in your relationship, you don't have to hate them. Now, you don't have to stay married to them, mm-hmm. but you don't have to hate them. And so that's freeing for me to say I can stand strong because I get to decide what's best for me. And I just want women to know it's okay to not hate the person, mm-hmm. but you don't have to stay married to them and you don't have to, you get to choose. It's a choice.
Right.
I'm pro-choice.
I love it.
Right.
Kind of shifting gears, we're seeing in this recent episode, and I think it's been hinted at for the rest of the season, everyone is kind of going through some things this season yes. with their marriages.
Yes, and that's exactly what I've said, is everybody's juggling something. And what I think Married to Medicine shows is it is a lot of work to be married and to have a profession that requires almost a marriage to your profession, in that if I'm delivering a baby, I don't get to say, well, you know, it's 5 o'clock and my husband, you don't. Or if there's a catastrophe in surgery, God forbid, you don't get to just go home and turn your day off because there's a life involved. And so seeing that in the medical profession can definitely put a strain on the marriage. And whether it's financially, sexually, you know, fidelity or infidelity, whatever it is, it's very taxing. And what you do see this season on Married to Medicine is literally, whether you know you are or not heavenly, everybody is juggling something.
Right.
Yeah.
Where is everyone at now with each other?
Now, the beauty of reality TV and that friendship that we have, and fortunately for some of us, we were always very close before, is it changes with the season. So if you ask me today, I can say we're probably all in 75% of us in a good place. But if you ask me by the time two or three more episodes, you might hate this person or not want to talk to them, or you are nasty. I'm nice to you, but I'm feeling really nasty about what you just said. And so it changes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kind of like speed up to the end of the season. Going into reunions, like, what is that experience like? You're one of like the very few of the whole world that have to go into reality television reunion.
It's like the ultimate reveal. You know, you go in and you're going to get it, or you're going to feel like you can get vindicated or get revenge. So you go in knowing everybody is prepared to explain or confront or just outright cuss you out. You know, you never know what's going to happen. So it's very unnerving to go into reunion because you don't know what questions Andy's going to ask. You don't know what pitches will pop up. You don't know what people may pop up. So you go in, you know, you want to feel like I'm looking cute, but this is one of the one times looking cute. You don't feel good. You're nervous. You don't.
I love it. Full circle. Back to your motto.
Yeah. Look good, feel good. Oh, but I'm sitting here nervous.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being so honest with us and coming in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Now to talk about the episode I've just been waiting, I feel like, all season for.
I know.
Once any Housewives franchise starts, I'm already ready for the reunion.
I know.
So let's talk about Real Housewives of Orange County.
Reunion part one. I'm sad there's only two parts. I want five.
Right.
So I just want to start off with what they're wearing.
Okay.
Whose look was your favorite?
Okay, I'm trying to think. Although I loved Peggy's, we've seen that dress before. I believe it's Tom Ford. Lisa Vanderpump wore it to reunion. Erica Jane wore it in interview during a season.
The same color?
Not the same color.
But the same dress.
Yeah, so I feel like, but she looked amazing in it.
Right, and I liked her hair.
Lydia's was good. Kelly's was very different.
Yes. I liked Kelly's the best sitting down.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was the best, like, it framed her chest and her collarbone really well. It was tight, so you really saw her figure. But standing up, I did not like the bottom of it. But it was my favorite, them sitting down. Like, I think she looked so beautiful on the couch, which I think a lot of people, as we've talked about before, don't account for the fact you're going to be sitting the whole time.
Yeah. And then we had Shannon in black. So I really did like Tamara's jumpsuit and Vicky's dress.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love Vicky's dress.
I just thought it was kind of simple, but not boring.
Yeah, but see, that's what I felt. I get it. It's a jumpsuit, but I felt like this is a reunion.
Step it up, Tamara.
Step it up, Tamara.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because it was really cute for like maybe an appearance on Watch Happens Live.
I loved Megan's hair.
Yes.
It's like much lighter. It's a good look for her.
Megan's look was not my favorite.
It didn't feel like her.
Right.
I don't know. It was too structured for her. She seems more like a
flowy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ethereal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say that I realized at this reunion that if I were to go on a reunion someday, I would want to wear a midi length dress or a long dress. So the whole time you're not worrying about
crotch shot.
Yes.
Showing your Britney.
Yeah, because a lot of them were wearing shorter dresses. And I was like, oh. But then Lydia had a long one on. I was like, smart.
Yeah.
Smart. You don't have to worry about it. Again, you got to think about it. You're sitting down.
I know. I don't even think you should stand in front of a mirror. You should just be sitting in front of a mirror. Like, how does this look?
Completely. Well, anyway, now that we got through all the looks, let's talk about what happened.
Yeah. So Andy always starts it off light.
Mm-hmm. I tested your knowledge of a lot of different sayings, and you did really well. You surprised me. So I want to test some of the other women. Tamara, bird in a hand is worth two in the bush.
I don't really know that one.
Well, I'm not going to say what comes to mind, but...
Yeah. Sexual.
I don't want to talk
Vicky,
about
what does it mean? Bird in the hand means two.
I don't know.
I don't know that
so
one.
Vicky doesn't know.
My theory is that you have already something, and so...
So put it in your bush?
And it reminded me. So a couple summers ago, I had told you that I was having like panic attack after panic attack. And I went to go see a psychiatrist to be like, what's wrong with me? Fix me. And he said, you know, to start this appointment, it's our first time meeting. I'm going to give you a little psych evaluation. And one of the parts of it was quizzing me on idioms.
Just like what you think about them or just like, what does this mean?
Yeah. What does this mean? And one of them, the only one that I have heard of but didn't really know was two in the hand, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So Andy's conversation has nothing to do with this other than once I heard that saying, I was like, oh my God, like it took me back to that terrible
dark place.
But I'm fine, everybody.
Good to know.
Yeah. I feel like the real drama in this first part was between Megan and Lydia.
Completely.
Whoa. Like, what I didn't really see it coming. But I...
Game friggin' on.
Yeah, game friggin' on.
Already on the show, you said that, oh, you're coming out, Megan. All right, game friggin' on.
And it's funny because when they show what's to come at the top of the episode, I thought Lydia was saying, you don't understand my face. I was like, that's weird.
And I heard that too.
Then in context, it's like, oh, faith.
So but you're not, you don't believe in that. Jesus. You don't understand my faith. So, of course, it's not going to make sense to you. I don't want it. It doesn't need to.
And I was like, well, maybe she has a hard time reading emotions. Maybe, like, she has a really good poker face. But I was really surprised by Lydia because talking to Crystal, it sounded to me like Lydia had a really hard go of it.
Yes.
And watching her, I was like, Lydia is, like, sticking up for herself. She says, game friggin' on. She's really going in.
Yeah.
And I was like, good for you, Lydia. Like, you're standing your ground.
Right. I mean, that, yeah, I think sometimes the louder you are, the more maybe you're questioning also. Like, you're feeling insecure about what's happening.
I think it was a reflection of how upset she was.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Leanne because it was like certain things trigger Leanne, obviously. Like we saw at the reunion, we saw in our interview last week with her, people questioning her dedication to the LGBTQ community set her off.
Don't f with me in my LGBT world. That's my world. I live there. When you cut me, I bleed rainbow.
And I think that was similar to Lydia being like, how dare you imply and retweet people to say that I have like hate in my heart and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what got her really worked up. And she'd been like waiting for this moment to address it and really go in. And you get really overwhelmed.
What was really hard for me was when I look online and it was saying like, Lydia's homophobic. And Shannon, like you retweeted somebody that said that. And I feel
I would never do that.
Because I unfollowed you at that moment. Out of everything that's happened between us, like, I just felt like that was so below the belt.
Honest to God, don't even recall.
I could be completely naive. And plus, because you know I love Shannon, so do I have my blinders on? I don't know. But I could see Shannon retweeting that, seeing that first part of that tweet, and not, like, even reading till the end.
Mm.
Or not even thinking of it in terms of it makes her sound.
Mm.
It makes Lydia come off as homophobic. But I could be giving her too much credit. Just because the look on her face when Lydia said, you retweeted them. And she was like, what? No, I didn't.
It was so long ago. And yeah, I feel like a retweet is so, like, it doesn't even show up to you that you've retweeted it. Like, you just press a button.
Right.
So it's, like, very...
easy to do.
Easy to do and also easy to forget that you've done that.
Yeah.
It's like Venmo. It's not real money. It just goes places.
You know, each of these ladies receives some sort of backlash over anything they do. Anytime they say something, wear something, they're going to get backlash on social media. Who do you think will get more backlash over this episode, Megan or Lydia?
I think that Megan will.
I wonder too.
Because, like I said before, going into this, seeing the super tease, I was like, oh no, Lydia's going to have a lot to answer for. And she did. But then watching this episode, I think, like, Lydia made really good points to me. Like, she was like, I was there. I really tried. I was really uncomfortable. What more could I have done? Did you want me to dance on the table? I was really uncomfortable because I was dressed like a man. No one else there was dressed like us. We stuck out like sore thumbs. People are screaming at each other about divorce and affairs and stuff. And that's not who Lydia is. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get why she was really uncomfortable. I was glad that she was given the opportunity to clarify in that moment. And I think that she...
Well, I think it's hard for her also because she's representing, you know, whether she wants to or not, she is representing Christianity on this show. And I think it's hard to make any type of statement without a million people coming at you and saying that's wrong, what you're saying is wrong. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure she's trying to be like, I, what is right? Like, right. I want to make sure I'm...
But to Megan's point...
I don't know. I just think you should use your brain and not have the Bible tell you what's right and wrong all the time.
Ooh.
I mean, that is so inflammatory. No, she's going to get a lot of...
I do not think she should have said that because I honestly see
both
sides of it.
Totally.
I just feel like, whew, some inflammatory statements.
Yes, yes. And you know, to Megan's point, and like she said the most, I think, inflammatory version of what she said. But I think she could say like, but at the end of the day, through your own experiences, you could look inside your heart and decide what the right thing is to do.
Well, I'll be looking on social media.
Oh, my God.
Tallying up those tweets.
You were saying earlier, and I thought it was a really good point, that most of this episode wasn't even about what happened in the season, but what happened after and on social media. And
we spent so much time on real-time events. You know, mm-hmm. We talked about how Kelly... is divorcing Michael. She sold her house, is living somewhere new, although basically the same place. Tamara and her daughter, things have just gone from bad to worse, it seems.
And I feel like this was the first time, because I, if I'm being honest, have always been skeptical of Tamara and her daughter's relationship. And it was the first time I've really heard her say, and I take ownership for doing something that my daughter didn't want me to do.
Yeah, and I felt like she also did... At the beginning of the season, when Eddie's like, you've done nothing wrong. She's like, I don't know. Like, I think after you and I got married, maybe it was too soon. And I was like, whoa. You know, like, she's starting to be introspective and be like, how did I affect this?
Right. Because she even says, I was impulsive. It was the wrong decision.
And I'll take some blame for that. There was a moment for a few weeks that we sat down and we met. And her dad started posting pictures of her. And all of a sudden, all the stories start coming out. Tamara's not invited. Tamara's not invited. And I stupidly posted a picture of her and I on graduation.
Which she had asked you not to.
She asked me not to. I was just so hurt. I was so hurt. There were so many horrible stories that were coming out. And I was impulsive.
I think she's realizing now that, like, she can't be like that if she wants to have a relationship with her daughter.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, like, I see the real pain. Like, I got teary-eyed. And so I hope that they're able to come together. Like, poor Tamara.
Yeah. And then, you know, then we go into Shannon separating from David, which is crazy that none of the other ladies knew. Because, I don't know if you caught this, but, you know, they're showing us more and more backstage stuff, this reunion. And as they're walking off, Shannon said to Kelly, I'm sorry I didn't come to you with this when you were going through your thing. Or I'm sorry I didn't reach out, but I was going through my own stuff.
I'm sorry what you're going through. I wanted to reach out to you, but I just, because it really happened at the same time, but I just needed to process it, you know?
I was like, that's kind of weird.
Right, because she said it happened at the same time. And then right after that, I'm like going to cry. It was like very emotional for you. And she was like, it's real now. I mean, like, I'd known a little bit, but, like, really hearing her vocalize all of it with her own inflection and, like, seeing, like, it's obviously not what she wanted at all. She really wanted to stay married, I think. But she wanted to be in a good marriage. And then when she said, like, I wanted to teach my daughters positive lessons.
you know, I'm a mom and I'm a role model for kids. And it got to a point where I wasn't teaching my daughters positive lessons. So they deserve a happy and joyful home. And so that's where we are.
And it kind of, obviously, I'm worried about muddying the waters here because of all of the David allegations and actually Bob and Sheree. But it reminded me of Sheree saying, I want to make sure I tell my kids what a positive relationship is and what they need to look for in a good relationship. And I didn't, and I want to make sure that they know that. And I feel like Shannon has that burden too, that she wants her kids to know what a good marriage is and what they should be looking for. And she couldn't stay because that's not what she was showing them.
Well, it was sad to me when she said,
and now I know what a good marriage is supposed to be. I know what it's like when someone looks at you adoring and, you know, and cares. And then all of a sudden when that's taken away.
And it's true. You don't know what's out there until you've had it. So she's been in a relationship that's not the greatest because she didn't know that there could be better.
It's just so heartbreaking. And then when she said the whole, like, you know, we had a really good couple of years. He says there's a couple good months.
You know, I said to David when he told me it was over, I said, what happened? We had a couple of amazing years. And he goes, we had a couple good months.
And like, I knew she had said that because Crystal had said that. But like, for some reason, hearing her say it and the pain she's clearly feeling and Vicky's reaction, me, like.
Yeah. I didn't know. I'm sad about it because I didn't know and I thought they were doing really good. And if I was responsible for any of it, I'd feel awful.
Because they don't get along. They don't like each other. And the fact that Vicky was like so upset by it, it really was shocking. I don't know. It was really hard for me to watch this episode without like just like bawling at my desk. And then I was glad Andy point blank was like, Shannon, how do you feel about Vicky saying she might, if she was responsible in any way, she feels really bad? And then Shannon's answer, I thought, was so gracious and, like, forgiving and, like, no, you know, we had our problems. Vicky didn't have anything to do with it. Like, that was a really kind thing to say to Vicky because
yeah.
That would weigh on me a lot, too.
Vicky's reaction really rang true to me, too, which is, like, it is... Yeah, whenever you hear someone's getting divorced, like whether you guys are friends or not, but if you know that person, it's just like, oh. And especially for Vicky, who's been through it and knows the terrible time that's ahead of Shannon, like the empathy. But now I am excited for Shannon because you know what? Her saying that she never knew what a good relationship is, now she can find it and not waste her life on someone who isn't putting forth the effort.
But I thought what was also interesting about this was all season me and you have kind of been talking about like Shannon's clearly lashing out because she might be unhappy at home, right? And she point blank says that.
It's almost normal. As I look back, it's like I was trying to convince myself that everything was okay and I took it out on other people. And I apologize to anybody that I did.
And I was like, yes, completely. Like you it was coming out in other ways.
Right.
God, that just all like,
a lot.
It was a lot. It was too much. And I just, I'm not Shannon to be happy.
But so we've been referencing it a lot. We want to play for you the interview we did with Crystal. We did it right after she came back from the reunion because we wanted it to be fresh on her mind. But a lot of interesting tidbits from behind the scenes.
Hi, Crystal. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So are you okay? Did you survive the reunion all right?
It was a stressful time leading up to it, but yes, I had a wonderful time once there.
Wait, what was stressful about it?
I was just a little worried to see the ladies because they've had a rough season. And
you just didn't know what mood they'd be
in.
Yeah,
exactly.
But they all turned out fine.
They were all great. Yeah, I especially loved talking to Peggy, who didn't want to stop talking to me.
That's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. So
I told you, Megan.
She's great.
So you just have to meet Peggy yourself.
And her daughter called her while she was getting ready. It was very cute.
Important question. Mm-hmm. Did you meet Deco?
I didn't meet Deco because he got there later. And he was just taking photos on set during the break, but then left. So none of the husbands were there.
Yeah. I mean, what was going through your mind when Shannon announced her separation?
How did it come out?
It didn't come out until later on in the reunion, and it was just a surprise to everyone.
Like, the ladies didn't know?
Only Tamara knew, and so during a break...
Of course Tamara knew.
Yeah.
You know, she was very apologetic to all of them, just being like she was trying to process everything, and Vicky was crying, and everyone was really emotional and felt really bad.
I just... This is not funny at all, but I'm getting the flash of... God hates divorce.
God hates divorce.
When, God, you know.
Yes. Well, we see her, like, once again tell Kelly not to get a divorce in the finale. And Kelly's like, I'm not happy.
Right, right. Vicky doesn't like divorce for sure is what we
right.
know.
Right.
So what was your reaction?
I mean, I was completely shocked. We've obviously seen them having issues throughout the season. And it's been a really emotional thing to watch. But... I don't know. I was rooting for them. It seemed like, you know, they were starting to try to get back on the same page.
Especially because her message to fans has been like, through hard work, you can get over affairs. Right. And it's just like, ugh. I just feel like this season has been particularly rife with anger.
Oh.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's been a lot right. of anger amongst these ladies.
Right.
Like, from the get, was it like that? Like, in Shaw's? Or...
I mean, in the very beginning, yeah, some ladies went at each other, but I will say, you know, I spoke to Andy in the beginning before the reunion aired, and I was like, do you have any predictions for this reunion? And he just went in on how he thinks there will be a lot of resolution, and I think that there was some resolution.
Having been in there, who do you think had the hardest reunion?
Huh. I think it's a toss-up between Shannon, obviously, you know, had a really emotional thing she revealed, and I think that was a really big step for her, but really difficult.
I know you had texted me that there was one lady who kept chatting you up throughout. Can you tell us about that?
Lydia kept coming to the side and where I was watching things. When they were in their breaks. And so I was just like, how are you doing? And she's like, I'm barely hanging in there. And then at another point, she was just like, I need to just take some space from the ladies and not be there. So I think she also had a difficult time.
Mm. Wait, what were we saying last episode? It was like when you're when you take in emotions, you're emotive. What was it, Grace?
No, an empath.
An empath. I think Lydia's an empath.
I am too. And so I was then feeling.
She really is.
I really am. So I was so then.
Megan pretends to be, but Crystal
she's
really
not,
is.
Not, right. So then I was feeling her energy. It was a very exhausting day for me too.
I always feel after reunions.
Yeah. I'm exhausted, but we also have to get there at like the crack of dawn.
I know, but it's like a different type of tired afterwards where you're right. just like I need to decompress somewhere.
I had
but
to
I don't
go
know why.
To a birthday party after the reunion, and I got home and I was like, it was my roommate's, and I was like, I'm just, like, really not in, like, a place. And she was like, if you don't come out to my birthday party, I'm going to be really mad at you. So I had to go out, and then I proceeded to get, like, out of my mind drunk. Yet again, Rachel's doing that. Because
it's a common theme on this show.
But I think it's because I was so, like, drained that I just, like, was like, I can't deal with it anymore. Then I'll just drink my sorrows away because I was, like, in a place after the reunion.
Yeah, I think for me, I was like, I can't even process everything that just happened. So I left and then I got a massage at the hotel I was staying.
You bougie.
I'm bougie. Just because I needed to decompress because it was a lot.
Get all those emotions out.
That's right. That's right.
And then your masseuse proceeded to talk to you throughout the whole thing,
which is weird and has never happened to me before. But she was on a reality show. So that was very interesting to me.
I once read a magazine article that's like, to get out of such a situation, you say to the masseuse, just so you know, this is so relaxing, I might fall asleep. So if I don't respond, that's why.
Smart.
Right?
That's smart.
But I still want to ask you, whose look was your favorite?
Oh my God. Tamara looked amazing. She was wearing this like red or maroonish jumpsuit, which obviously Andy loves a jumpsuit, and her hair was short and looked fabulous. Peggy looked really great. And the theme was they were going for like an Icelandic feel. So,
yeah.
So very light outside. Light outside and like trees in the windows. But they were indoors.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't sitting on a glacier. But yeah.
We always talk about how reunions are like the greatest days of our lives.
Yeah.
This was your first reunion.
It was my first Housewives reunion. I went to Southern Charm, but obviously Housewives, it's a completely different experience. So yeah, it was super fun. I got to fly out to LA.
Was it at a hotel? Where was it at?
It was at
a sound like a studio.
Yeah.
What did you eat?
I had brown rice, a piece of chicken, and broccoli. That's all they had. It's California.
That's great.
Did the ladies eat with you?
No, the ladies ate separately. It was the crew in a big like mess hall, but
the ladies were
in their own quarters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vicky and Kelly had dressing rooms side by side, and then the other ladies were across the hall.
So Vicky and Kelly had dressing rooms side by side and all the... Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just like putting that together. Like who and who? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But they were had their own rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any behind the scenes secrets?
Oh. Megan had her dog with her. So in between breaks, the dog would keep coming out, sit on the couch with her. Oh. And then like her assistant or something would take it away and then it would come back.
Any pre-show freakouts?
Megan forgot her dress at home, so they were Ubering her dress over, and so she kept saying, like, Ricardo's bringing it, or whatever the Uber driver's name is. Like, no one was assisting. No one was, like, bringing it other than the Uber driver.
Isn't that exactly what happened to her stepdaughter when she was getting ready for prom?
Oh, right.
She got her dress.
That's right. Yeah.
I thought you were going to bring up Dorinda Ubering her luggage.
Oh, no, but that's good, too.
Great fact, Crystal.
Yeah.
Had you interviewed Andy before? What was that experience like?
I spoke to him at the Southern Charm reunion, but he was super, you know, he was busy at the time that I initially went up to him. But then when they were all on the stage, he like pulled me aside on stage and then asked, you know, we captured some content with him, which I thought was really generous of his time.
I love Andy.
Thank you, Crystal, for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you for being here, Crystal.
Thanks for being my friend.
I think we're just work colleagues, but all right.
Goodbye. Did you catch that shade?
HR.
Are we at a reunion right now?
Classic podcast banter.
Let's move on to Rose and Thorn.
My rose this week was from the reunion because Tamara said she's talking about someone I don't even remember now, but she was like, they go for the juggler.
And when she gets mad, she just goes for the juggler.
The jugular. And it was just like a perfect housewife-ism of saying
things
wrong.
Now I'm just like imagining someone slitting a juggler's throat.
Right? No, completely. So that made me chuckle.
Thorn.
David Bedore.
Interesting. Mine might be the same. My rose was that we got a throwback to Who Gonna Check Me Boo, one of the best Real Housewives of Atlanta moments of all time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My thorn was David, but specifically that Shannon said he bought his daughter a tricked out BMW for her first car at 16. Not because I don't think she should have a nice car, but because he made digs at Shannon all season about being, you know, raised in a privileged home and spoiled. Well, what do you think that's doing?
David.
How dare you?
That moment just brought me back because the Real Housewives of Orange County has like a tradition of buying their kids cars. Like, I remember that episode when Gina bought what was her name?
Kara?
Kara. Kara. The car, and she was like a total brat about it.
Yes.
And then you saw Vicky by Brianna, and then she and Brianna find out she had to pay the car payments.
Oh, right.
So this was like a very OC-ian yeah. moment for me. But yes, great point. But yeah, I'm just so mad at David for leaving Hawaii early.
Yeah, what? What? You're not even trying. You're in the most beautiful place on earth.
Right. And it just, and like, just seeing how heartbroken Shannon was, and like, I think in the end it's going to be better for everyone. She'll be able to find, hopefully, her own Steve.
She's going to. I know she will.
I love Shannon.
She'll bounce back.
She'll bounce back. She's going to feng shui it somehow.
Yeah, she'll get a cure. It's time to do fan shout outs.
Did we do a sting last week?
Yes, we did.
Oh. What does it sound like?
Fan shout outs.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Oh, it's from the OC reunion?
It's them shouting.
Oh, I get it.
Make it more clear. Pure disappointment.
Okay, time for fan shout outs. I want to shout out some of our Apple Podcast reviews. So, Meg, not me, P.O.
It's really just you.
912 wrote, obsessed. Once I discovered this podcast, it was my motivation to start running again because it was amazing to have something hilarious to listen to while I get back in shape. Disco guy emoji, red dress dancing lady emoji. Oh my God. I don't even run, so to be the inspiration for someone to start running again,
it's huge.
Huge!
Yeah, I don't run either, but I'm so glad someone else is... I now feel like they're running for me.
Should I start listening to our podcast and then get into running?
maybe.
Oh, and T. Liet wrote, love, love, love. This podcast is what keeps me in a tolerable mood at work. This and lots of coffee. I laugh too often out loud with you guys and get weird looks from my coworkers. Oops. But either way, I love this podcast. The Luann special was bomb. Please give me some interviews about that. I live for this drama. I live for this drama.
Raising, I live for this drama.
Raising hand emoji.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for the compliment about the Luann special.
We
and,
loved it, too.
I'm often laughing out loud to myself, so you're not alone. I mean, not listening to my own podcast, but just in general.
But yeah, those are great. Please send in more.
Yes.
Review us on iTunes, guys.
Yeah, like really, though, do it. Please. And then there were some amazing interactions this week on Twitter. At Shashar, I want to say, is how you say this.
Okay.
Hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. How did I just hear about the podcast? Oh, duh. It's because of Kelly Dodd.
Yeah,
because
she shared a link to our podcast.
So thank you, Kelly. And thank you, Shashar. And then also Diana Martinez at Diana M 007.
Ooh.
Are you a spy? Should I say Martinez Diana? Bond, James Bond? Anyway, she said, at Meg Segura, at Rachie Robb, on a Roni kick. Oh, by the way, me and Megan were just in a meeting saying Roni, and apparently only our floor of Bravo uses the phrase Roni for R-H-O-N-Y.
So we're now hoping to make it a thing.
Yes.
Please start saying Roni in your everyday conversation.
Right, the many conversations you have about the Real Housewives of New York.
If you're listening to this podcast, you better be talking a lot about Roni.
Yes. But anyway, she was on a Roni kick. Just watched the episode where Heather, I'm adding some words in because it's Twitter. Heather follows Ramona around Aviva's anniversary party, laughing emojis, which is like one of my favorite episodes.
I also just, I like that you shared with us that you're doing another binge because I'm always going back and binging random seasons of things. So,
but this was the party that Sonia planned in the Empire State Building
mm-hmm.
with that weird, it was like Aviva's anniversary party and it was like that weird singer who basically did like a striptease number.
Oh, right.
I love that episode. It was right back after they came back from London.
Mm.
And it was the bidet, the ice bidet.
I remember
this is a great season. Memories.
And real quick, a special shout out to Bryce T. Carson from Richmond, Virginia.
He slid into your DMs.
He slid into my DMs and was like, hey, check out my Christmas tree. I was like, oh, that's weird. But no, it's amazing. It's all housewives' ornaments. Like, every housewife is on his tree. And I'm so jealous.
I'm really jealous, too. Why didn't you send it to me?
Oh, my God. He wrote on here, the caption, it's 150-plus Real Housewives.
What? That's, like, all of them. He must have gone into, like, Cheshire, Melbourne. He went in. Because I think Peggy was our 100th housewife. Someone was recently. We, like, did a whole thing on it. Yeah,
Peggy. He said, this year Matt and I decided to highlight the 150-plus Real Housewives who bring us so much joy. We've ranked them from naughty to nice with the Queen of Christmas at the top. Can you guess who it is?
The Queen of Christmas. Oh, I like this game. I gotta think about it. Oh, Dorinda.
Yes!
I almost said Jill Zarin. I don't know why. Anyway, please keep tweeting at us with your roses and thorns, just your thoughts for the week, and, of course, again, review us on Apple.
Yeah.
Podcasts.
You can tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb and me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small. And give us your rose and thorn with hashtag rose and thorn.
So next week, we have two fun interviews coming up. It's kind of different for us, but they're men.
Right. We don't usually hear men voices around these parts.
Right.
I talked to Shepherd Rose. I talked to Shep about the new, I don't know if you've heard about it, relationship show where he's looking for love and looking for the one. That's my show, so I was really excited to talk to him about it.
When I was 23, mm-hmm. I moved to Charleston out of college, 22, 23, and I entered into this very serious relationship with this great gal in Charleston, and my friends started calling me relationship because I wasn't as fun anymore.
And then we both talked to NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, which I know may seem weird, may, you know, not seem like us.
Right.
But once you hear this interview, you'll know why we had to talk to him.
Golly. He was like the cutest, had the best reactions. Like, he was just such a joy to talk to about Housewives.
And he's a bigger Housewives fan than most people we meet.
Right.
Everybody is in one lane of traffic. And Erica Jane just keeps coming back and forth. It's like, oh, my God, she's performing, and here she is over here. Look at what she has on, and oh, my God, here she is back again. I love her.
He knows his stuff. So subscribe to the podcast so you can get that episode when it comes out. I got my girls with me, with the boys at the table getting